In the Dasama Skanda, the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 30, this is verse number 12. Gopis are continuing to search for Krishna. They're separated from him. And they've gone from the trees to the plants and flowers. And they asked the earth. And in verse number 12, they're going back to the trees. Start again. This is verse number 12. Pahum priyamsa upadaya grihita padmo ramanajus tulasikali kalir marandhe anviyamana iya vastarava pranamam kimbhavi nandati charan pranayavaloke. The Brajagopis said, O trees, we see that you are bowing down. When the younger brother of Ram, Krishna, walked by here, followed by intoxicated bees swarming around the Tulsi Manjaris, decorating his garland. So it's very clear here from 10th canto, chapter 30, verse 12, that Krishna wears garlands with Tulsi Manjari sewn in the garland. That's why we said in a few classes before, if you offer a mala to Krishna without Tulsi, Krishna's not happy. He doesn't like it. Why? Because when he himself glorifies Tulsi, he says, Pushpa Sara Tulasi in Padma Puran. Pushpa Sara Tulasi. Of all the, you are the essence, Sar, of all the flowers, Tulsi Devi. So therefore, when you buy malas from Banki Bihari, flower walas, other places, then they give you one patta, leaf plate, with a mala, and then they sprinkle some tulsi, manjaris and leaves on top, and they hand it to you, and then you offer to the pujari. So here, it's right here, clear. So they're asking the trees, you're bowing down because, why are you bowing down? Because when a great and exalted person goes by, then one actually stands up and bows down, shows respect, bends his head, falls on the ground, dandavats, some type of obeisance is an honor and appreciation of the exalted person, be they a senior or a leader, etc. O trees, did Krishna acknowledge your humble obeisances with his affectionate glances? Krishna must have been resting his arm on the shoulder of his beloved and carrying a lotus flower in his free hand. So literally, Krishna's right hand was resting on the shoulder of Radharani. No, let me get it together. Krishna's left, I'm not so much familiar with this. Krishna's resting his left arm on his shoulder of Radharani, and in his right hand he was twirling a lotus flower. He wasn't just carrying it, walking along. He was twirling it because the movements of that spinning lotus flower were indicative of the spinning of Krishna's agitated mind. Because when you touch the polarities and some sparks will fly. So he's excited to be with Radharani. What to speak of Radharani? While Krishna rests his left arm on her shoulder, then her hair of her body stands on end in happy acceptance and happy appreciation of that joyful contact with Krishna's divine transcendental form. You can see in this verse, although this is Leela, describing the Leela of Krishna, we can also see some messages here that there's one party, the guru, the senior. Guru means senior, father, grandfather, teacher, leader, whatever. Then there's the junior, So what's happening here is the trees are china, rapi, suni, china. They're bending down, and the madness of the gopis, they're not seeing the reality of the situation. The trees are possibly bending down because they're full of fruits. In Mayapur, there's a place called, I don't know, Rampur or Jagannathpur or something. It's near that place. And there's a temple there, Jagannath temple in that village, old Prachin Jagannath temple. And nearby that part of that temple, there's a mango grove, about 20 mango trees. And in a season, each mango tree has 5,000 mangoes, one tree. It's a lot of mango shakes. Feed the whole village. And the people that own those trees, they lease them out to the fruit wallas, and they get 1 lakh per tree. They have 30 trees, so every year they get 30 lakhs just for having a tree growing in their yard. They don't give any water, they don't give any sun, they don't do anything. Don't even pick the fruits. The fruit wala picks the fruits and gives them a good amount, plus some paisa. Fall in paisa, good deal. So when you have 5,000 fruits hanging from your branches, you'll probably bend down. So when you have 5,000 devotional qualities, when you have 5,000 devotional qualities hanging from the anga of your sharir, the limbs of your body, what are the limbs of the body? There's the shukshma sharir and linga sharir. The subtle body, man, buddhi, hankar, and the gross body of the panchabhuta, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Bhumirapo nalo vayu kamano buddhir evaja. So when these elements, the gross elements of the body, physical body, and the subtle aspect of our being are saturated with Krishna conscious humility, then one bends down like a tree laden with fruits. Their bodies bend down, their heads bend down, their minds bend down, their thoughts bend down, their vision bends down, and their words bend down. Because in the 16th chapter of Gita, Krishna is telling the qualities of the asur. One of his beautiful qualities of the demon, Rakshash, is harsh speech. Heavy, coarse and heavy, harsh speech.
Hey, what are you doing? Muku, this is my territory.
And you say, oh yeah. So this is too Rakshash. Muku and Buku. Dangerous. They're wanted by Interpol. So the gopis are noticing this extraordinary humility of Mango Baba, of the trees and bowing down, and Tulsi, let's say, Tamal Baba, Neem Baba. So the point I saw in this Leela description is that the tree is bowing down, and the gopis imagine that the tree is bowing down because the tree has seen Guru, Adi Guru, Jagat Guru is Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So the Adi Guru has passed by here with the Adya Shakti. The Adya Shakti is Srimati Radharani. And so seeing the Guru is coming. Here comes Guru Dev. Here comes the Jagat Guru. Oh, Tamal Baba, Neem Baba, Mango Baba, everyone, all trees bow down. Oh yes, Dandavat, Dandavat. And all the trees bow down. And what does Krishna do? The juniors are bowing to the senior. But Krishna doesn't just walk by. I'm very busy. I'm looking at his iPhone watch and very busy going here and there. know, what am I going, or Apple Watch, whatever they call it. Watch your apple. Better you eat your apple. I'd be more healthy. Or donate your apple. So the feed the cows with your apples. That's a better one. You take your apple and feed the cows for the same value. So what does Krishna do? Does he walk on by? Ignore, not pay attention? No. Shukamuni says, Krishna acknowledged, Krishna Guru, Jagat Guru, the senior, acknowledged the obeisances of the junior with affectionate glances. Look of love. But we have seen many big, big people, and we've even lived in the illusion of that idea. And that illusion of that idea, and seeing the others in that same illusion, of course we try to avoid it as much as possible. But we saw many people would be offering obeisances here and there and respects with, in a genuine way many times, most of the time. And the person being honored and respected was oblivious, disinterested, apparently not even noticing. This is not Krishna. Krishna does not move like this. Krishna moves with love. And his love is universal and all-pervading. So he loves the trees, he touches the leaves. Oh, trees, how are you? Oh, birds, how are you doing? And Govinda Lilamrita, when Krishna enters the forest, the coward boys, it says all the Vrindadevi is inspiring all the forest residents. Oh, trees, look lively. Oh, trees, look lively. Krishna is coming to be with you again after a long night of separation. Krishna is coming to be with you. Climb in your branches and eat your fruits and swing from your branches with his julan and climb in your branches like a monkey and sit under your shade with his cows and then nibble on your fruits and use your amalaki fruits for baseball and or amalaki ball and throw the fruits and hit them. So the trees are so elated. Oh, Krishna's going to play with us. Lila Purushottam, this is Lila Bhumi. Everything, everyone in Lila Bhumi plays with Lila Purushottam. The trees play with Krishna. The earth plays with Krishna. Govardhan plays with Krishna. The cows, the birds, the people, the Brijvasis, the gopis and gopis. Everyone plays with Krishna. It's a play of love. It's a love play. It's Lila. So then Krishna acknowledges and he shows his gratitude and he looks at them affectionately, not like, oh yes, I am Bhagavan and I deserve all this honor and distinction. And where's my gold car and this and that? But he doesn't. He is Bhagavan. He's Sakshat Bhagavan. But he doesn't think that. He thinks, das, das, das. So this is a nice point. Just in the verse itself. You receive honor, then you give honor. What's the problem? It's a balance. Don't tilt the balance of the harmony of God. Just maintain the balance that God has given you. Don't get out of whack. Jiva Goswami Pad comments on chapter 30, verse number 10. The gopis, seeing the trees bowing low with their fruits and flowers, and thinking that they are offering respects to Krishna, thus the bewildered gopis inquire from the trees. This verse indicates that the gopis are very skillful in understanding Radha and Krishna's intimate pastimes. This is indicated in this verse by the description of Krishna resting his left arm on Radharani's right shoulder. Bahum Priyamsa Upadaya Upadaya. Bahu Mahabahu. Krishna glorifies Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Mahabahu, oh great armed Arjuna, oh powerful Arjuna, lift up your Gandiva Dara. Don't drop your bow on the chariot. Rise, arm with yoga, stand and fight. So, Bahu Priyamsha Upadhaya, his Priya Amsha. That's nice. Amsha, we're also Amsha, but we're not Priya Amsha. What are we? There's Priyamsha. What are we? Hello. Good morning. What are we? Jivamsha. Yeah? Yeah. Something from Bhagavad Gita? You tell me. Begins with your mother. Vamai vamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashastrani indrani. That's my mix, two and one. Anyway, the idea is that the living entity is an amsha of Krishna. Mama amsha, the jiva is an amsha of me, not your mother. Your mother is an amsha of him. Mama, I said, it begins with mom. Mamai vamsho jiva loke. So the jiva is an amsha of Krishna, jivans. So Radharani is priyamsh. Why is she priyamsh? Because she's a dearly beloved of Krishna. Bahum priyamsha upadhaya. Krishna's upadhaya, resting his arm on the shoulder of Radharani because she's so dear. Radharani is Krishna's priya, priyaji, priya priyatam. You see all through these verses, priya, priya, because we heard from Jiva Goswami and a few tikas ago, he was revealing the actual heart and mind of Shukamuni. Do you remember? Shukamuni, he said, listen, I, Shukamuni, my favorite of all the forms of the Lord, my favorite form of the Lord is Krishna Vrindavan. And my favorite of all the devotees of Bhagavan is the Brijvasis. And my favorite group among the Brijvasis are the gopis. And my favorite gopi among all the gopis is Radharani. And I very much like when she's enjoying her loving pastimes with Krishna. But I'm afraid to reveal Radharani's name because if I just say Radha, I start trembling in ecstasy and I faint just by saying Radha once. And if I say Radha, 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 then I lose my consciousness. I become murka. I faint, dead to the world, and no thing coming out, no words coming out for Prakshit's art and benefit. So, but he says, I will try my best, but I will reveal the glories of Radharani in the different verses spoken by the gopis, remember? And not only I will reveal the glories of Radharani spoken by our own gopis, but I will reveal the glories of Radharani, and I will first, because that means revealing the glories of Radharani, means that Shukamuni himself, he's glorifying. It says Sri Shuka Uvacha, he's speaking the Bhagavatam. So all these 10,000 verses are all being spoken by Shukamuni. So now he's getting to the nitty gritty, the essence, the sar. This is the bottom line. His Ishtadev, his Ishtadevata, Radha. So now he's, every other verse, he's mentioning Radharani's name. He said, I won't mention the name Radha, but I'll say Priya and Priya and Priya and Priya and Sakhi and Sakhi and Sakhi and Priya. And Kanta, we heard yesterday, Kanta. Kanta means a lover. And who is the Kanta of Radha? There's Radha Kanta and Radha Krishna is the Kant of Kanta. Krishna Kant. Because Kant means Krishna and Kanta means Radha. Kanta Kant. So therefore, Jiva Goswami says, first, Shukamuni reveals Radha through her friend speaking. So her friend is speaking. And her friend knows the intimate loving pastimes of Sringharati of Radha and Krishna. So one Sakhi, Sakhi means friend. So one of Radharani's Sakhi is saying, oh tree, we see that you're bowing down. When Krishna walked by here He was in an intoxicated state. Was he resting his arm on the shoulder of our dear beloved Radharani? Ashtashaki Shiromani Radha Radha Radhe Radhe. Ashtashaki Shiromani Radhe Radhe. Radharani is a Saki Shiromani. Oh, so many lakhs and lakhs of Sakis. And there's Paksha Vipaksha, Chandravali's Vipaksha, then the Paksha party of Radharani, Alita Vishaka, Chitra Champak, Indraleka, Rangadevi, Tungavedya, Sudevi, Vyasha Sakis. And they're all her Vipakshas, they're her Radharani Priya. So Jiva Goswami Pad says in this verse that Radharani's Ashtra Sakis are speaking, oh, Gopis, look, this tree is bowing down. This is their unmad. Because in their unmad bhav and their mahabhav, they don't understand, oh, this tree has so many, there's so many mangoes, tinazar, charazar, mango, upare, amphal, and the branches are, all the branches are hanging down because of the weight. They're thinking, oh, this tree is offering obeisances, pranams to Guru. The Guru has come into the forest. Who is the Guru? Jagat Guru Sri Krishna. When the Guru comes, then the junior touches the feet of the father and the mother, the bacha, or the Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, pranam karo, dandabat karo. So this Jiva Goswami says this is what of Radharani, because of the tone of the Sanskrit, the tone and the way of speaking it is a mahima, they're glorifying. And some verses of this chapter 30 of 10th canto is the Vipaksha Sakis are speaking. Oh, who is this gopi who has left Krishna and left us all alone? Who is that? That's Chandravali. In the Sanskrit, in the translation, you can understand that it's anti-party rival of Radharani. So then Jiva Goswami Pad continues. So first Shukamuni reveals Radha by one of her gopis speaking. When Sri Krishna disappeared from the gopis, taking only Radha with him, her friends had some doubt. The doubt, the shamshai was created by Yogamaya. There were thousands of gopis, Radharani's party, Chandravali's party. Because of Yogamaya, initially, for chapter 29, this is chapter 30, or sometime, none of the gopis were aware that any other gopi went with Krishna. They thought they were all there together. They are all in anxiety and separation from Krishna, and they're all wandering and searching for Krishna. Rasa Krita Krishna Vesana, looking for Krishna, searching for Krishna. But Radharani's party of gopis, especially the Mandris, Rupa Mandri, Tulsi Mandri, they're all together. Because they are bhav taratmika with Radharani, in Radharani's absence or separation, viraha, they can understand Radharani's not here. Because wherever the light moves, wherever the light is moving, the shadow moves. There's no question of light without the light and the shadow. The shadow depends on the light. So the light is Radharani. Banu Nandini, Radharani. She is the light. Brisha Banu Nandini. Banu means sun. Banu, Bhaskar, Aditya, Arka, Divakar, Prabhakar, Padmalocha, Padmabandhu. So Radharani is that light. And the Chaya, Banu Chaya, is the Mandris and Sakis? So they have, Jiva Goswami is revealing Radharani's party, they have some doubt. Though they went, all the gopis went with together, absorbed only and searching only for Krishna. And although all the gopis were in a state of unmad, this divine love at the level of Mahabhav. This is only with the gopis, the Braja gopis, not by the Mahishis and Dwarka. They can only approach the very edge of this idea with some Prem-Vaichitya. Prem-Vaichitya, there's some reflection, some small form of Mahabhav, the Virahabhav and separation. In the Dwarka Lila 10th canto, chapter 90, Mahishi Gita. Dwarkadish and the Mahishis and queens one afternoon, a hot summer afternoon, it gets very hot in Dwarka. So they all gathered in some big lake, big swimming pool, royal swimming pool with crystal landing steps and all the fancy things. And then there's so many flowers growing there, and there's a mandap there, and the musicians came and were playing pakawaj and esaraj and flute and all beautiful instruments, cymbals. And they're playing beautiful music. And then Dwarkadish entered that beautiful pool, beautiful royal pool, and with the queens, they started splashing water. And while they were splashing water, then the queens, they thought, oh, where's Dwarkadish? Where's he gone? And so the Vishnu Chakravartipad, in his commentary on 10th canto, chapter 90, he explains how in this Mahishi Gita, they experienced some premvaichitya, separation from Krishna. And they started pining and, oh, where's Krishna? Oh, osprey. Oh, these different kind of seabirds, like a seagull or something like that. I forget. Oh, kurari, yeah, in Sanskrit. Oh, kurari, kurari. Kurari is translated as osprey. It's a type of ocean bird, osprey. Oh, kurari. When the kurari bird, when it sings, the pakshi gun, it's very shrill, high-pitched voice. Like, ah, ah. Very high. Ah, ah. Sounds like baby crying. Bacha Rona. Very high. Ha. Ah. So pining and wailing and crying in viraha. Vilap. Lamentation. Oh, kurari. And if kuraris are flying around, they're always flying around the ocean, the seaside. Seagulls and these type of things. Terns, sea terns or whatever they are. There are many types of birds. So they're hearing their crying. It's, oh, and their type of, it's called Ruta. The Sanskrit verse, it says Ruta. Ruta Bhav. Because in Mahabhav, there's two divisions. Ruta Bhav and Adi Ruta. But this Ruta Bhav is very weak. Because their Rati, the loving attachment, and the Sringa Rati of the Pati Patni and Dwarka Leela, Swakya Bhav of the queens and Krishna, their rati, their degree, their intensity of their attachment, our acharyas explain as samanjasa. Samanjasa. Samanjasa means I'm Rukmini, I'm Satyabhama, I'm Mitraminda, I'm Satya, I'm Kalindi. So many Mahishis. And I love my Dwarkadish, I'm loving Krishna, and I'm serving him absolutely for his pleasure. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmadya navritam. Anya bilashita shunyam. But I have some transcendental spiritual desires, aprakrita kam. I have some spiritual desires, aprakrita, not lokik or prakrit. Transcendental desires for my own pleasure, satisfaction. That is called samanjasa rati, shringar prem, madhurya prem, swakya. But in Braj, in the gopis, their madhurya prem, their amorous Stai Rati, intimate attachment, loving attachment for Krishna, is called paramor. Parakiya Bhav, and the term is used samarta rati, samarta. Whatever I have, any assets, any value, any objective, art, any object, objective, value, benefit, wealth, whatever I have, dharma, art, kamoksh, art, samarta, all of it, completely is for Krishna. Krishna Toshan, Krishna's happiness. I don't want anything, not even a gandha, not even a scent of desire for myself. This is Gopi Bhav. This is Radharani. This is the purest love possible. So he explains the sequence of verses indicate the acceptance that Radha was with him. So this, the deer, first, the previous verse, they're asking the deer, have you seen Achyuta? And because each of these verses, now they're not asking trees and flowers and plants anymore. Have you seen him? Where has he gone? Has he perhaps come this way? Now they're talking, now they're intimating, they're not even asking about Krishna. They're asking about Krishna and his girlfriend, Radharani. So now the whole tenor, the tenor of their conversation is switched. This is verse 12. For the first 11 verses of chapter 30, the gopis are searching, asking the trees, the Ashwat and Plaksha and Nyagrodha. This is Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva. Nyagrodha is Banyan. Then they asked the Champak and Ashok and secondary trees. Then they asked Kalyani Tulsi. Then Malika, Yutika. Then they asked, oh, Bhumi. So now they ask everything only about Krishna. Now the previous verse, we smell a fragrance of Kunkum, Sri Kunkumena. Sri Kunkumena, Kucha. It says in the last verse, Kanta Anga Sangha Kucha Kunkama. Very clear. And this is now the cat comes out of the bag, you know. The secret is revealed. It says Kanta. Kanta means the lover. This word is not used anywhere until this point. Kanta. Oh, gopis. The air is carrying a fragrance of kunkum. What kunkum? Kucha? Kucha kunkum? Kucha means stan, means Radharani's breast. Kunkum means a beautiful red powder sprinkled on the top side, upper part. Kanta anga sanga kucha kunkuma. This is very, there's no more doubts in the gopis. They're smelling a fragrance that Achyuta is with his kanta, and they're enjoying Anga Sangha. Anga Sangha means intimate meeting. And in that Anga Sangha, there's embracing. So when the lover embraces the beloved, then it's the garland or the kunkum from one is transferred to the chest of another one. And that's what they're smelling, and that's what they're perceiving in yesterday's verse. Now today is verse number 12, and they're saying, and they're just directly saying, that was 2 days ago. Then to the deer they said, oh, has Achyuta come by here along with his beloved? Are you following? You're with me? You're following? There is no entry. There's no mention of beloved Radharani. It's Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey, Krishna Kahan, Krishna Kahan. Now it's, where's Krishna and his beloved? And by using the principle, and Shukadev indicated, and Jiva Goswami indicated that Shukamuni will do this, by using the principle of parokshavad. Parokshavad means saying what you want to say, telling what you want to say, but in an indirect way. So Shukamuni wants to say Radharani. Krishna's with his beloved Radharani. This is the kunkum from Radharani. This is, and the trees are bowing down because they're seeing Krishna with Radharani. The verses in Shukamuni are not saying Radharani, but they're saying words like Priya, Kanta, Priya Sakhi. All these words are in the Sanskrit. So in this way, Radharani has entered into the drama, into the Leela. Now we know that she's there. So, let's see what more Jiva Goswami Pad says. Because Jiva Goswami usually breaks down and analyzes all the Sanskrit words quite minutely, whereas Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, or Chakravarti Pad, in his tikkas and commentaries, he more concentrates on the rasa swaran and the actual mentalities and feelings and bhavas being exchanged without so much going into minute details and explanations and multiple explanations of the Sanskrit words. This word can mean this and this and this and this and this and this. And Vishwanath Chakravarti stays on the point. It's all Madhurya Vichar, everything related to Radha and Krishna. So then this word is there in verse number 12. In the first line, first pada, Pahom Priyamsa Upadhaya. Bahum, Bahum Priyamsa, Upadaya. Upadaya. Upadaya means Krishna's resting his bahu, his arm, on his Priyamsa, his part, his most beloved part. Amsh, Amsh means part, Jivamsh, Jivamsh. So Radharani is Krishna's, the Priya, when we say Priyamsh in Sanskrit, the Priya is Priyaji Radha, Radharani. So Bahums, Bahum, Bahum Priyamsha, Upadaya. Krishna's resting his arm. But then, because Upadaya means resting, but resting, there's so many words for resting the arm on the shoulder, one can use. But Upadhaya, Upadhaya has a particular, slight different meanings, like we say tweaking. So Jiva Goswami brings that out, says the prefix Upa is Daya. Daya means to rest or to lay. So Upadhaya means to gently rest. Like two friends, two brothers meet after a long time. Hey, brother! And they put one puts the arm around the other, and it's kind of a, it's like wrestling. It's a firm. You put your arm on the shoulder of the friend, and like this. But Krishna is, oh, this is my Priya. This is my. So Jiva Goswami makes a very nice point, because Radharani's shoulder is tender. Krishna places his arm there lightly. It's like. As Krishna's arm holds up Giriraj. Giriraj Darin Teri Sharan Ki Jai. Giriraj Darin Teri Sharan Rako Laja Hamari Shri Govardhan. Rako Laja Hamari. Giriraj Darin Teri Sharan. So this is Teri Sharan. Oh, Giridari. We are, Mahaprabhu has given us your shelter, and Das Goswami has given us your shelter, and Gurudev has given us your shelter, and Braj has given us your shelter, and Radharani, Haridas Varya, she's given us your shelter. Radharani's glorifying you. Hey, Haridas Varya! In the Bhagavatam, there are three Haridases, only three Haridases in 12 cantos. In Sanskrit, mentions Yudhisthira Haridas, Haridas Yudhisthira, Uddhav, Mahashaya, Haridas. And who is the third one? Giriraj Dharanaki Jai. And who is telling this? Who is the guru and acharya of this statement? Jorse Bolo. Who is the guru and acharya of this statement of who is the third Haridas whom we just identified as Giridhari? Right. Radharani in 10th canto, chapter 19, Venu Gita. Radharani is speaking in Vishnu. We don't know which gopi is speaking which verse, but Vishnu Chakravarti Pad, by his Prem Drishti, by his Bhav Drishti, he's telling, this verse is by Lalita, this verse is by Shamala, this verse is by Chandravali, this one is by Padma, this one is by Vishaka, and this one is by Radha, Radharani. Haridas Varya. Varya means the best of, the greatest of, the zenith and topmost of. Yes, Yudhisthira is Haridas. He's number three. Number two Haridas is Uddhav Mahashaya. Uddhav Gita, 11th canto. But numero uno. Numero uno. Number one. This is from Latin and Spanish. Very close. Numero uno is Giriraj Dharan Ki Jai. Giriraj Bhava. And who is the guru who made this statement? It is not Krishna. It is Radha. Clear. Muku. Muku is loco. Radhe. So Haridas, and he's Varya, he's number one, and he's the best. And is anyone going to argue with this guru? The guru is Radharani. So We, Gaudiya Vaishnavas especially, what to speak of Brijvasis. In Brij Mandal, there's only two Thakur and Thakurani. One, the Thakur is Giriraj Baba, and the Thakurani is Radharani. You have your Gopal, everyone has their Gopal, Lado Gopal in the house, all your Radharaman or Radha Govind, Govindadev. But when push comes to shove, when you're crying out for mercy, and when you're crying out for blessings, and you're dying, you're going to cry out Radhe, Radhe, or you're going to cry out Giriraj, Giriraj. That's it. You may hold your Thakurji or Thakurani to your chest, your Gopal or your Radha Govinda. But when you cry, at least if you're a Brijvasi, you say, oh Giriraj, oh Radharani, Radha, bas. But when you're alive and you're not dying, then you will sing like this. Mero Radha, Mero Radha, Mero Radha Ramana Giridhari, Giridhari Shama Vanavadhi, Mero Radha Ramana Giridhari. Shri Radha, Shri Radha, Shri Radha, Hamara Dana Radha, Jivana Dana Radha, Prima Dana Radha, Shri Radha, Shri Radha. Radha, 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 Radha. Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Nitai Gaur Sitanath Premandi Hari Hari Bo. We're reading the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary in verse number 12. We'll read the verse again. Bahum Priyamsa Upadaya Grihita Padmo Ramanu just chulasikali koler madhante anviyamana ihavastarava pranamam kimbabi nandati charan pranayavaloke. The translation, this time we'll read the translation by Srila Prabhupada. We already read BBT. Srila Prabhupada translates chapter 30 of the 10th canto, verse 12, in this way. O fortunate trees, this is the gopis speaking. Prabhupada said, the gopis are saying in this verse, O fortunate trees, we are thinking of Krishna, the younger brother of Balaram. While Krishna was passing here with one hand resting on the shoulder of the goddess of fortune, he likes to say that. And the other hand, whirling a lotus flower, like twirling, whirling. Krishna must have been very pleased to accept your obeisances, and he must have glanced at you with great pleasure. Very nice translation by Srila Prabhupada. Vishnu Chakravarti Pad's Tika. In verse 12, the gopis are discussing further clues that Krishna is right there. Then they saw that the trees were bent over with abundant fruits and flowers. They're offering obeisances to Sri Krishna. At that time, the gopis say, O trees, when Krishna passed by here, did he acknowledge or not with his loving glances the obeisances of you, his subjects, who are offering your fruits and other gifts unto his hands? Alas, alas, why is it that only saintly persons like you, who are in the mode of goodness, get the opportunity to have Krishna's affectionate glances? Why is it that only saintly persons like you, who are in the mode of goodness, get the opportunity to have Krishna's affectionate glances. A very deep sentence by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. You think about it, like some devotees in the world, they live in the holy dham, Jagannath Puri dham or Navadvip dham or Vrindavan dham, and they're surrounded everywhere by yatris who have saintly faces, the men and ladies visiting, or by the dham vasis who have saintly faces. They're not only in the mode of goodness, but they're transcendental. They're coming here to visit because they're devotees, and devotees are transcendental beings. And if they're born here, they're transcendental beings. So when one is very fortunate to live in the dham, whenever he sees the faces of the dham vasis or the yatris, he's seeing what he's saying here. He's saying, only saintly persons like you get the opportunity to have Krishna's affectionate glances. So the gopis are saying, oh, trees, you're saintly. And of course, that may be their, you could say that's their exaggeration. But here again, bubbling up through their Madhurya Bhav is some Aishwarya Bhav. Bubbling up little bubbles like you have a river and some mud and leaves are fermenting on the bottom of the river. And as the leaves ferment in the mud, they give off gas. And the gas comes up from the bottom of the, not river, but lake. And then the little bubbles form on the lake. Boom, boom. You must be seeing if you've been in the country. So the nice point, the gopis are saying, so I'm saying that some of their Aishwarya vichar is rising through this intense layer and covering of viraha bhav and mahabhav madness, because it is a fact that in the scriptures, in the Puranas, it says that great saintly persons, they take birth in Vrindavan as trees, and great saintly ladies take birth, that's the males, great saintly ladies take birth as creepers and latas, Madhavi Lata, Malati Lata, Giloy Lata, medicinal creeper. And then even the cows and the bulls are great saints. I once saw my teacher, he told me this when he gave me a meditation on a mantra. He said you should meditate on the word Govinda. And Govinda is, Krishna assumes, is very loving and sweet human-like mood to tend the cows, to take care of the cows of Nanda Baba, who are all actually great saints. And I couldn't find this in the Bhagavat, because I looked in the Bhagavat and I saw in the Bhagavatam that many saints, it says in the verses, some saints have become birds, munis have become birds. It's in the 10th canto. They're sitting in the trees, and when Krishna plays his flute, it says the rishis, at the form of birds in the trees, they close their eyes and they meditate like great rishis. And I couldn't find this clue. And I asked my teacher about it, but it's quite old. So he said, you have to find it, it's there. So then time went on, then I found it mentioned in Kavi Karnapur's Krishna and Nika Kumudi, and then a couple other places that the cows in Vrindavan are great sages. And also I found in, I think in Bhagavatam, I wrote down somewhere, I thought, oh yes. You know what I'm saying? So now I was relieved. So the Guru speaks many things which may escape our volume of knowledge or our perception. Because the Guru he's presenting scriptures that are revealed within his heart, that also exist, and he's revealing things that he studied also and received from his teachers. So many deep and profound things will come from the mouth of Sri Guru, which at first aren't understood, like our Shiksha Guru, the identity of different personalities, as you must be knowing. So Vishwanath is going on. He's saying, oh, trees, you're so fortunate because you can see Krishna's face. Krishna's glancing at you with affection. So how fortunate. I remember recently we were in Barsana and we met a great Siddha saint there. And the Siddha saint was glancing at us very affectionately and speaking very gentle, appreciative and grateful words to such an insignificant ant-like creature as myself. And it was very touching to the mind and heart to be so well received and so kindly treated. Then even little did I know that the ashram and he and everyone in the ashram were about to go attend a feast nearby in a great saint's ashram to celebrate the Tirubhava, the founder of that ashram. And then while we finished our affectionate glances and speeches from the saint, then he said, come on, let's go. And he called everyone, let's go for the feast. And he took me by, held me by the hand and said, come on. And he pulled me to the feast. So that was very nice. So I was, when I was coming back in the car, I was thinking, I was just practically crying in gratitude to Radharani. Oh, Radharani, you're so kind to let me live in this land and see the faces of these great liberated souls and receive their affection and blessings. I don't deserve any of this, and I don't know why and how, but please, please keep me like this forever. So this, when we sleep and when we close our eyes, we just think of the Thakurjis we've seen, like all of you, and especially all the great saints we have seen leaving their bodies and in their bodies. And so this phrase, I can't but think of this experience. Gopis are glorifying the trees, are saying, he said, why? They're saying, oh, alas, alas, because they're thinking, you're fortunate. Krishna glanced at you, but he's not glancing at us. He glanced at you. He went by here, so you saw him, and you bowed down. And when you bowed down and showed respects, then Krishna showed his gratitude to you, and he glanced at you affectionately. Oh, Radhe Radhe, Hare Krishna. As the devotees do when someone, if someone is in a more elevated position or so-called, or maybe senior position, and someone respectfully bows to them and even says, oh, so-and-so, nice to see you. And so then you, oh, Radhe Radhe, Hare Krishna. Like this. Because the Father, like the Father, like the Son, there's Krishna and there's Krishna Das. So there shouldn't be much difference between Krishna and Krishna Das in terms of achar and behavior and maryada. That's why the disciple should see Krishna in the guru. Right? He should see Krishna's love, Krishna's knowledge, Krishna's compassion, Krishna's humility, Krishna's everything. Krishna's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so humble. And Krishna's Narayan, and he's Nisringadeva, all these things. So sometimes guru has all these moods. Sometimes guru is Nisringadeva. Ask some disciples, I can tell you. Ask Prabhupada disciples. They themselves have used this term. Prabhupada himself coined this term about guru, and then all the disciples picked it up and said, yes, Prabhupada, we agree. Do you know that one? Prabhupada, he quoted some verse from somewhere, which I don't know. He said, sometimes, or most of the time, at least we hope so, if you're a good disciple, if you're a good disciple, then the guru is soft as a rose flower. He's soft as the petals of a lotus. I mean, well, whatever. He said softer than the petals of a rose, I think he said. And so we can understand, I guess, Americans. And then he said, but he can be harder than a thunderbolt. Actually, I saw the Sanskrit somewhere. Do you know the Sanskrit? I saw it actually somewhere. So then the Prabhupada was like that. He was like a thunderbolt with his senior disciples who cracked them. What is this? And they would say, and they would even describe sometimes, Mukunda Swami, he said when Prabhupada got angry, his upper lip would start trembling. He would like really get angry. What have you done? You spoiled this BBT's printing money. He would, this Prabhupada, he is, you know, pitta, you know. Eyes, he's quite fiery. Can you imagine how fiery Prabhupada was? Every day he would massage his head with pure sandalwood oil. His body, arms, heart, everything with mustard oil, sit in the sun. But his head, that's winter, summer, every time, sandalwood oil. Half a tola. 5 grams. Yeah, that's a lot. 5 milliliters, that's quite a bit. He's so fired up. His brain was like a nuclear reactor, you know. So powerful. Amazing. You see, Prabhupada's glowing like 10,000 sunshines. Isn't it? You see pictures of him. He's 80 years old. He looks, he has a glow of some 14-year-old boy or something. You know, his glow is like anything. Prabhupada. Extraordinary. I mean, there's great saints, and we all have our gurus and teachers, and they're great liberated souls, and they're liberating us by their kripa. And Prabhupada is certainly one of the great suns. I mean, there's so many sun planets in different universes, so and at least in one universe, Prabhupada is the sun planet in the ISKCON Jagat. And the ISKCON universe, and that's a big universe. It's big. I meet people that never even They weren't even thought of. Their idea of them, their existence wasn't even thought of. And then they take birth 40 years after Prabhupada. Confirmed. They take birth 40 years after Prabhupada and are having dreams of Prabhupada. Vivid dreams of Prabhupada. Receiving instructions. 10-year-old children, 12-year-old children. I met them. It's like... Some Prabhav, huh? So it's like amazing. I mean, every disciple have dreams of his own guru, but so that's pretty amazing fact, I must say. Whatever you can say, there's certainly a lot of extraordinary energy going on there, dynamic energy between Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. Speaking with jealousy, Speaking with jealousy, the gopis continue. This younger brother of Balaram is well known for his intoxicated love affairs, must be similarly intoxicated. I guess there's different ways, there's different tones of voice. You can say the same thing in a different way. Like I can say, Beta, will you please vacate the premises? Or I can say, Get the something out of here now. And then it's like, wow, just your words will blow the person out the door. And you're saying the same thing. Please vacate the premises. Please leave my domicile. Please exit the yard. So Vishnath, in his usual transcendental vision, first, the favorable Jiva Goswami says Radharani's favorable gopis are recognizing the fortune of their Sakhi Radharani. Oh, trees, has Krishna passed by here with his arm delicately resting on his beloved Priyaji? Bahum Priyamsha Upadhaya. And now you take this verse from the Vipaksha party. Oh, Krishna's come by here. He's intoxicated. He always gets intoxicated. He's intoxicated with some love affairs, and he can't even walk a straight line. So because he can't even walk straight, because he's so intoxicated, loving this one and that one, like blindly loving anybody that comes by, then he can't even walk. So he puts his arm around some other drunken girlfriend just to support himself. Help me up. You know, okay, I'll hold you up. And then he's staggering through the forest. That's what, you have to see it. That's what the words are painting. Paintings worth 1,000 words. So you have to see with the paintbrush of your mind. You have to read the Shastra. You have to read the Shastra with the paintbrush of your mind. Hey, that's a good one. So when you're reading, especially Leela, at the same time you're reading the Leela, you have to paintbrush. You have to paint that Leela in your mind. That's called, what is that called? Come on, you're supposed to be sharp, smart, young. What's it called? It's called visualization. Visualization. It means painting a picture of the Leela in your mind with a paintbrush of your mind. A paintbrush of your desire on the canvas of your mind. The mind is the canvas. You know, canvas is a cloth that they paint on, oil paint. And that paintbrush is your desire. I want to see this Leela. I want to remember this Leela. I want to be in this Leela. I want to serve in this Leela. And I have a service there, and I have a form there, and I have an introduction there. Because you can't walk into the party without introduction. Do you have Nirmantran, sir? Where is your Nirmantran, which means invitation? They stop you at the door. A big man, 2 meters this tall. Hello, Nirmantran Dedo. Oh, I don't have Nirmantran. Oh, Mr. Jones is my best friend. Get out. Ooh. So same way, you come into Leela. Oh, I'm coming to Leela. Acha, what is your name? Oh, I don't know. What is your seva? I don't know. Who's invited you? Do you have any? Is there anyone here that knows you, that's familiar with you, that recommends you? No, I heard there was a Leela going on, and I just came over for the party. Get out. Go again. Janma mrityu dravyadi duka doshana darshanam. Guru, 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 guru. Then one life, you get Sadguru. Who is Sadguru? Sadguru is the one who reveals Sad-you. Sadguru is the one that gives Siddhadeya. So life after life, after this guru, that guru, and this progress and that progress, and anartha nivritti, and aparad, and aparad, and aparad, and aparad, and die. And then birth, and then anartha nivritti, then aparad, and aparad, and aparad, and shud chitta, and shud antakaran, then nishta, then die, then birth, then nishta, 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 then ruchi, and then ruchi, and ruchi, ruchi, and then asakti, and then die, and then birth after birth, then bhava. So like this, as Prabhupada said, it's a gradual process, which I quoted in my little treatise on Rag Bhakti, whole section about the gradual process. Yes, it's the same process every life. Chant, dance, take prasadam. Chant 16 rounds, and then take prasadam, you know, up to your neck, then up to your chest, up to your neck in the first life, up to your chest in the second life, up to your belly button in the third life, then the fourth life, your full belly, and the fifth life, your half belly, because when half your belly has prasadam, then you are a yogi. Because yogi's stomach is this big, 2 hands, this is size. Your 2 hands is your belly, not mine. And then you put Bhima's hands together and see how big they are. Big. And then he makes this much roti and sabji or whatever. Then he goes and gives half to animals, the monkeys, or others. And then he eats half. This is bhakti yogi. Indriya dant. Indriya dant means controlling the senses. So it takes many lifetimes to become yogi. No yoga, no siddhi. Yoga means siddhi. So what is our siddhi? Prem se bolo radhe radhe. Prem, Krishna prem. You chant. Anyone who avoids these 10 offenses, right, attains Krishna prem. Yeah, that's true. That's right. So the some speak with jealousy. Look, this Ramanuja. This Ramanuja's come by here and he's drunk again with some, who knows, some gopi. He's ignored the most beautiful Chandravali. And Padma says, yes. And Chandrava, ignored me also. Padma and Shaibya. So speaking with jealousy, which is not Lalita, speaking with jealousy, which is not Radharani's Bhakshasakhi, the jealousy is the Vipaksha, the anti-party. Some gopis said, the younger brother who is well known for his intoxicated love affairs is also intoxicated. So he's resting his arm on the pillow of his beloved's soft shoulder due to fatigue of loving exchanges. He's intoxicated by her love, and he's just completely exhausted. And he's walking through the forest, and this jealous gopis of the anti-party are critically speaking of Krishna, so indiscriminate in his choices. Krishna must be carrying a blue lotus in his right hand to drive away the bees eagerly trying to attack his beloved's face after smelling its sweet aroma. Just see the difference in the jealous. Krishna is carrying a lotus in his free right hand. His right hand is free. But he's not using it to beat the face of it. Look at the language Vishnu uses. Using to it. The bees are attacking his beloved. Attacking is very aggressive. It's one thing of the bees. They buzz around happily and playfully just smelling your tulsi malas. But if they're attacking you, then it's like, watch out. Attack, attack. You get the t-shirt, attack. You know, whatever. So it's not good. So this Krishna must be carrying him. So that's why he's carrying. But actually, the favorable part, he says, Krishna's carrying a lotus in his right hand. And what's he doing with it? He's not beating the face of Radharani. He's twirling it because his mind is agitated because of the beauty of our Swamini Ishvari Radha. And when he's with Radharani, he can't contain. His mind is spinning. His mind is spinning inside his head. And it's spinning. It's spinning down his arm and spinning his fingers and spinning the lotus. So this is the favorable part. He's glorifying everything. Everything toward the common center. Everywhere center, nowhere circumference. So everywhere, the center of everything and everyone in Vrindavan is Radharani. Everywhere the center and nowhere circumference. This is the principle of the spiritual world. In the material world, everywhere circumference, nowhere center. Do you understand? Right? You have a center, and I have a center. Everybody has a center. It's called center of interest, me. And they're all clashing. There is no common center. So in the material world, everywhere is circumference. Circumference means around. I'm moving around in my circle of interest, with my circle of friends, and my likes and dislikes. And in that circle, you're one of the persons that I don't like. And so you're moving in your circle. So in the material world, everywhere is circumference, nowhere is center. In the spiritual world, everyone's orbiting around one center, Radharani. Krishna's orbiting around Radharani. Radharani's standing in the middle of the rasa dance playing the veena. And Krishna's dancing around all different mudras for the pleasure of Radharani. And then Krishna comes and he takes the veena from. Then one mandri steps up behind from Radharani when Krishna comes, knowing Krishna's mind and Radharani's wish, takes the veena very carefully from Radharani's arm. Puts it on her shoulder, then Krishna goes like this, and Radharani steps out of the center, and then Krishna takes his murli. Murli is 1 meter long. Murli is 1 meter long. It's very long. He starts playing, and Radharani starts dancing for Krishna. And all the gopis, one circle, two circles. One circle is going around Radha and Krishna like this. Another one's going like this. And the third one's going like this. Clockwise, counterclockwise, clockwise. And Krishna's in the very center is Radharani, and everyone's orbiting around it. And Krishna's just moving slowly around, playing the flute as he's dancing around. Krishna's playing the murli as he's dancing around the center of Radharani. And Radharani's dancing and whirling around like a merry-go-round. And she's looking at Krishna. They're just looking at each other. And Krishna's playing the flute. Have you ever seen two musicians play together? The tabla player and the sitar player? Have you ever seen? Or even any kind of, where one person's playing the sitar. Then he looks at the tabla player, and the tabla player goes, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You never saw. You don't know music. Yeah? You know music. Must be. You're a singer. So this is, it all starts there. Everywhere the center, nowhere circumference. This is Radharani. This is Vrindavan. This is the Rasa Lila. So we'll finish the Vishnu's Tika and then we'll go on Harinam. This is the anti-party. Therefore, being exclusively absorbed in serving his beloved, how could Krishna glance upon these trees? The maddened bees have left the tender tulsi groves to follow the two lovers. Therefore, Krishna must be hiding here somewhere enjoying his pastimes. So let's follow these swarms of bees. Then other gopis reply, it's not proper for respectable persons to follow after those who are blinded by intoxication. So one anti-party sucky says, oh, Krishna's drunk. He's with some indiscriminate nondescript. He's with some nondescript gopi, enjoying it. He's so intoxicated and fatigued. She's holding him up. And now who knows where they've gone? And even the bees are chasing after them. And then Padma or Shaibi, another gopi of her anti-party, says, "Yes, and why should we follow them anyway? Because we're respectable. And a respectable person, a gentleman, doesn't walk after a drunk. Some drunken person staggering down the road. Some gentleman, well-dressed gentleman, refined gentleman, the community is not going to walk behind him. Oh, yes, let me follow this drunk." Doesn't happen. So even Chandrabali's party, and they're thinking, "Oh, it's no need to search for this one anymore. He's not worth it, because he's with some worthless gopi and nondescript gopi. Let's go home." Same verse, called Dristikon, angle of vision. So the favorable party sees it like this, just like the Ananda, this Anand, that Anand, all the Anands, all the Anand missions. They write Bhagavad Gitas and they comment. And then all the verses of Bhagavad Gita mean Brahma Suja. They mean Brahma Suja Mukti. It all means fix your consciousness on the oneness. Ananyas Chintiyantumam. Fix your thoughts on the Ananya, the undifferentiated Brahman. So they have every Yuktasa. Everything, every verse means Brahman and Mayavad. That's their Dristikon, angle of vision of Gita. And then another acharya comes along who's a Vaishnava, pure Vaishnava, and he says, every single verse of the Gita means chant Hare Krishna. Because chanting Hare Krishna is the best form of expressing bhakti. Chanting Hare Krishna is the best form of thinking of Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna is the best form of worshiping Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna is the best form of offering obeisances to Krishna. And chanting Hare Krishna is the best way to become a devotee of Krishna. And this is the essence of Bhagavad Gita, which is told in verse 934 and 1865, which say, Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji ma namaskaru mam evaishyasi satyam te prati prati jano priyo sime. You can become priya. You can become like Radharani. You become my dear one. You can become my priya bhakta. Priya Jana, Priya Bhakta. By how? By chanting Hare Krishna. This is the conclusion of one acharya. It's perfect. Absolutely perfect. He took everything and gave it an essence of three words. 700 shlokas of Gita became three words. Hare, Krishna, and Ram. Very clever. But then you read, because when I first got Bhagavad Gita, I was reading it, oh, this is very nice. I was doing Raj Yoga, Hatha Yoga, meditating, and I got the Bhagavad Gita, and I read. Then I went to one mission, and they tried to sell me Bhagavad Gita. And I said, I have the Bhagavad Gita. And they said, no, this one, you don't have this one. This one's special, and this and that. And I said, what's so special? See here, there's these chapters, 18 chapters. 18 chapters? 18 chapters in Bhagavad Gita. My Bhagavad Gita only has six. Chapter 1 through 6 is by Swami Bogananda. The famous acharya Swami Bogananda. And he taught me like this, you know, that this is the way. And then I said, no, try the other 12 chapters. You might learn a little more. Then when I got the other 12 chapters, they just said Chanari Krishna. So I did. And the rest is ancient history. So tomorrow we'll continue with some more words on verse 12 and continue with our discussion of the gopi's search for Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai.